Stan Brovin's Rhythm and Blues in New Orleans is one of the essential books about Louisiana music, first published in Britain in 1974 as Walking to New Orleans, then in the U.S. with a current title in 1978 by Pelican Publishing. Readers and researchers have long hoped for an updated edition of Brovin's seminal work. Now Pelican has obliged with a revised, expanded, and WWNO's Fred Kasten says improved new edition.
John Brovin grew up in East Sussex on the southeast coast of England. There, early in his teen years, he was initiated into the joys of rock and roll and rewards of digging into its history by a classmate.
This was at the height of the rock and roll era in the late 1950s. And it so happened that a classmate of mine by the name of Mike Lebbitt not only was he enjoying rock and roll music and buying rock and roll records, but he was delving into the history of the records, which at that time was quite unique. In fact, Mike was very visionary and went on to become the editor of Blues Unlimited, the very first international blues magazine. So I was very fortunate being not only at the same school, but in the same class as Mike. And he inspired me to follow a similar path of looking behind the curtains at these great records.
Turns out that much of the music John Brovin, Mike Ledbetter, and friends liked best featured New Orleans artists Fats Domino, Huey Piano Smith, Jesse Hill, Ernie Cato, on records made at Cosmo Metastas Crescent City Studio. But it took them a while to uncover the New Orleans connection.
For example, Fats Domino's records were credited on the label as recorded by Imperial Hollywood. There's no immediate indication that it was from New Orleans.
Mike Ledbetter did eventually uncover that information. John Brovin never did find out how. Ledbetter and Simon Napier started Blues Unlimited magazine in 1963 and recruited John Brovin to write for it. Blues Unlimited focused increasingly on the Chicago blues artist, profoundly influencing emerging British groups such as the Stones. But John Brovin maintained an abiding interest in and love for New Orleans R&B, an interest and love that deepened after his first stateside visit in 1970.
The first port of call was New Orleans, and we stayed with a Blues Unlimited reader by the name of James LaRocca and his family. I had no idea at the time that his mother, Connie, had actually run a record label, Frisco, from around about 1962 through to the mid-60s. And so she had a lot of connections, you know, with the rhythm and blues artists, particularly people like Earl King and Clarence Frogman Henry. James took us around. Professor Longhair had just been rediscovered. We saw Huey Piano Smith, we saw Archibald, Boogie Bill Webb. And it's quite clear to us that, New Orleans to a large extent had been forgotten. And so we started to document our trip. And then Mike said to me, he said, "Well, it's about time you wrote a book." And I said, "Well, I never even thought of such a thing. You know, I haven't even got a subject." He said, "Well, you've just been to New Orleans, you've just seen these great artists. Do it." And once I got into it, I saw, if you like, it was literally a blank slate. And I'd say there'd been very little documentation up until that point. Yes, jazz had been well documented, but not rhythm and blues.
Back in England, Brovin started researching the book, scored an important interview with Dr. John.
When he was at the peak of his rock star status and he visited London, and we held two interview sessions. He was terrific. Not only had he been there at Cosmo's studio and known the personalities involved, but he had a real feel for the history of New Orleans rhythm and blues.
Brovin returned to New Orleans in 1973 for another round of interviews with artists and record men, including Cosmo Matassa, then published the British version of his book titled Walking to New Orleans in 1974. Pelican Publishing put out the U.S. version in 1978 under the title Rhythm and Blues in New Orleans. Even after that came out, John Brovin continued to interview key players such as Dave Bartholomew from the golden age of New Orleans R&B, and includes much of that material, as well as essays from other New Orleans music writers, in the updated edition. where he artfully blends oral history with thoroughly researched chart material and his own observations to craft a compelling narrative, as well as encyclopedic collection of facts about New Orleans R&B.
I was able to envelop this, if like this thread of a storyline, you know, the rise and fall of New Orleans rhythm and blues. It wasn't just a documentation of the artists like Fats Domino and Smiley Lewis and Professor Longhair. There was a story within a story.
Captured by John Brovin in the just-out, updated, expanded, and highly recommended edition of Rhythm and Blues in New Orleans, which he'll present and sign at Octavia Books tomorrow night at 6. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Caston.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans.